Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Today, I'm taking you to the end of a gravel road where the farmland which encircles the Maunga almost runs out. And while I was there, I had to pinch myself as it seemed like I'd gone back in time. You'll see what I mean. Take a listen.
Now, so it's perfect.
So you can pop in and keep an eye on
them. Yeah, exactly.
Shall we go and have a look?
Yeah, why not? That's great. I've just got five now. I've got just four mature ones and yielding fully. One of the mares is...
I'm with Steve Muggeridge, a man with a passion for Clydesdale horses.
How many have you had at its peak?
Oh, 12.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, back in the day when we were doing a lot of work. And I also cut the numbers down a wee bit also because not the work around that used to be, you know. I still do a bit of public work around the place, vintage weekends and parades and that sort of thing, you know, go to a few shows. This time of year is just when the show season's sort of winding down.
Here they are, aren't they beautiful? Who have we got here?
So we got Merrick here, that's sniffing everything. He's a 9-year-old gelding. We got Fiona on the right, she's a 14-year-old mare. And then we've got out in the paddock there, the wee yearling, her name's Rita. Her mum's over there tied to the truck on the far side, her name's Beth. And then Beth is 7 years old, and we've got Jess, she's a light strawberry roan mare. She's 11. So Jess is one that's in foal.
We last met Steve about a decade ago, ploughing with his heavy horses at Erewhon Station in the South Island. Now he's back in Taranaki, where the family interest in Clydesdales all started.
You breed the horses, you break them in, you get them working, and you have them all your life, and they... Just like this fella that keeps coming up to us, they just become your mates, you know, they really do. He's a bit over the top, he loves a bit of human attention.
Do you think I'm in the way here?
No, he's all right, he's like this with everyone, he just loves human attention, you know. They've all had a feed just before when I come up here, they've all had a good feed, so yeah, they just love that human attention. They're just like family members, really.
How long have you been involved with the Clydesdales?
My whole life. Yeah, I way back from when I was a kid, Dad farmed with horses all his life till he passed away in 1985, and I just carried them on. And yeah, it's great. It's a lot of work, but yeah, it's a real passion. You can see these horses here right now; they're right in your face. It's
they're interested in everything.
Yeah, they become your mates, all right. There's no doubt about that.
Steve's late father, Lou Muggeridge, set up a Clydesdale stud at Tikiri, 15 minutes away, back in 1976. So for Steve, this grazing block is a bit like coming home. Steve's getting a pair ready for work, and work is what the Clydesdale was bred for. Their great height and strength, ideal for pulling ploughs and other farm tools before the arrival of the motorised tractor. Today, they'll be pulling Steve's vintage flat-topped wagon.
Well, I'm hopping on.
Yeah.
Steve's got a special sack of chaff for me to sit on. Up we go. All right.
It's an old wagon. It's 1906. It's got a wind-up brake, but we don't need that with these two mares in it, because they brake with the britching, you see. So.
Was this your father's wagon as well?
No, I picked this up way back in the late 80s from Martin. Huh? I drove past his cocky's place and was sitting out in the paddock, so I went and seen him about it and I bought it. He didn't give me a very good deal, but I still got it. And we spent a few dollars on it, and it all paid off. It's come up really well, actually.
We've got Mount Taranaki straight ahead of us.
Yes, we have.
And the horses.
We got Beth on the left and Jess on the right, so we're nearly ready to go.
Thanks.
Okay, girls, come up. Come up. Come on.
pulling, Steve?
Oh, just it's on wheels, so the wagon does freewheel. Steady, guys. So going downhill, it'll be, it's virtually nothing, and then if we turn around and come back up that little rise, it'll most likely turn into just over a ton. Yeah. As soon as you pull off the tar seal onto grass, the weight virtually doubles, especially when you've got a load on.
We're definitely off the tar seal here on this remote gravel track. The last farmhouse is behind us, and we're heading up towards the mountain. Through a cutting we go, and there it is, Mount Taranaki in front of us. It's a magical sight with the horses' heads bobbing in the foreground. Steve does hitch up his horses now and then, like this, for weddings, funerals, and agricultural shows.
When you said your father farmed with them, is that all he had?
Yes, that's all we had. So I know it's going back a few years now, but 1988 was the last year that we ever stacked hay. Did everything with the horses, mowed it, rode it, put all the stacks in. That was the last year.
And why did he not move on to mechanical, to the tractors?
Just the same passion as me. He loved the horses and, he just loved the horses. And it was, just a passion of his as well, So it was great, really, an absolute passion, And you've got to, like I was saying earlier, you've got to love it because it is a lot of work, I'm still shoeing my own horses, but, I'm only 63, but the old arthritis is getting into me a bit, so I still do it, but it's jolly hard work. There's no doubt about that.
You say that the work is not there. People were interested in using them for ploughing?
Yes. Still? Yeah, that's the trouble. There's not many of us left, that know those old ways, working the horses and feeding them right and that sort of thing and looking after them. Working them as in doing all their agriculture work, their ploughing and cropping and that, there's still one or two in the South Island. And
but why would people still want to do it when there are so much easier ways to?
Oh, there is easier ways, there's no doubt about it. It's just the attraction. Like I say, you breed the horses, you break them in, you get them working, and you have them all your life, and they just become your mates, they really do.
Steve also has an official role within the Clydesdale community. He's the president of the Clydesdale Society of New Zealand, which has about 160 members.
A lot of Clydesdales are getting ridden, eh? Yeah, again, because most shows now have a ridden class. And
That's different from before?
Yeah, way different because they were bred to work. But the ridden class seems to be very popular at shows and lots of sort of small block holders have got them, and just the physique of them and just they look so cool when they're all cleaned up and with their flowing feather and all that sort of thing,
The hooves with the beautiful feathery
yes, exactly,
coat yeah. over the top.
So yeah, once they're all cleaned up and all cleaned up for the shows and that, they do look very smart and, a good horse will show itself off when you take it to a show. I know my fellas do. They might just look a bit plain out in the paddock, but you get their gear on and get them in the show ring and the four of them in the wagon or three of them in the wagon, they strut their stuff. They really know what's going on, and it makes you quite proud. There's been quite a few moments in my life when the hair on the back of my neck has stood up. A 100-year show at Levin show there quite a few years ago. I had five horses in a big wagon. I went past the grandstand and everyone stood up and clapped and the hair on the back of my neck just stood up. It just made me feel so proud, I can tell you that. That was amazing, Even having a six-horse team, even if you're doing a bit of ploughing and you just sit back on the seat and you're studying them all and just think, it just makes you so proud that you've bred and broken and got them all working and that there's nothing like it, really.
Do you ride them yourself, Steve?
No, I don't, actually. I'm real keen on working them. We have ridden the odd one or two, but I don't make a point of it, So, yeah.
How's the show season been?
There's been a lot of shows this year. I've actually, entries have doubled since last year. Like Levin show this year was a royal show and back in January and we had 23 entries. Our other main North Island show is Morrinsville and they had 18 or 19 there. That's a North Island championship show. People were keen, but there's still, from the Clydesdale Society point of view, we've got to look at, see if we can sort out some more classes for these people that have got one horse and they can go on the riding, and we've started up a long reining class where you can just drive your horses with long reins over a course, just to sort of get more people out there interested. It's all for the novice, and it's all a learning thing, which is great. Public absolutely just love seeing the Clydesdales.
So it's in good heart.
Yes, very good heart.
And breeding? What about that? Are people breeding them?
Yes, so breeding is hit and miss. No matter, you can do everything to the best of your ability and still end up with nothing. So it's like me this year. I sent three mares away to get them foal, and I end up with one in foal. You know, so just one of those things, you know, so yeah.
So you want to build it up again?
Build it up again, just get numbers back up again, just to replace some of the older ones, you know, like even Fiona there, she's 14, but she's a great, real hard working mare. She's still got a lot of life, and they all have, but I just like to have these young ones coming on.
Would you like to see more farmers using them in front of the plough?
Oh, too right I would, you know, but I think in this day and age people would laugh at me, you know. They really would, Sally, you know. They would think it's a hell of a joke. But
so
I,
do you go down to the pub and try and convince them?
Some of them think it, you know, they think I'm I think it's pretty cool that I've still hung on to the horses. You know, they don't all agree that there's still a place for them for whatever reasons. But yeah, it's quite a hard case, really.
What about the international scene? How's that for the Clydesdale horse?
Oh, great. Australia's very strong. Yeah, very strong indeed. And a lot of our recent stallions that have been bought in New Zealand have come from Australia. Even further afield, you know, even way over in Scotland and where the Clydesdale horse originated, you know, it's pretty strong over there too, actually. Yeah.
And what do you think the future of the breed is here in New Zealand?
I think it's very strong. It's got to the point now people are just, they want to keep this breed alive. Our numbers have dropped over the years, the breeding side, but the last couple of years it's starting to pick up again now. You know, after my generation, we haven't got that many young ones coming on behind this sort of thing, but I just hope they can keep it going, you know.
How are you going to bring them on?
Yeah, for the horse's sake, you know, that's the thing. Yeah.
How are you going to bring them into it?
It's just so hard. I'd hate to see it die out myself.
Yeah, it's a bit tricky, isn't it? When it's a workhorse,
yes,
and you've got young people coming through, I mean, what can they do with
them? That's dead right, and it's hard, and unless you've got a bit of land and that sort of thing, it's very hard, Sally, you know. I don't think they'll die out, but they are a pretty rare breed, if you know what I mean.
Hold on. We're back in the wagon, and the horses have a clip in their step as they head towards home. I'm still seated on the bag of chaff. In fact, it was pretty comfortable.
Let's move up that little rise. It's got a pretty good lock on it, full lock wagon. You can spin right around.
Wow, that was a tight corner.
Yeah, it just because the whole front turntable goes right around underneath the body of the wagon, so it's pretty cool, actually. This flat top, it tracks well along the road, just with two horses in it. I have had four horses in it, and I've even had five horses in it, but I put a big load on it, you know, for the show scene and that sort of thing, so that they can see the horses working.
How heavy a load can they carry like this?
A horse, and you know, just in this day and age, a good foot horse that's done a fair bit of work should be able to pull a ton quite easily by itself. And it's a bit like the three furrow plough. We have six horses in it, so it's sort of two horses per furrow. And but back in the day, you know, when we were on the farm, we never had a big plough. We just had mainly single furrow, double furrow plough. So what we used to do is we'd put three horses in a single furrow plough and stop for lunch, and you just keep going all day, you know, and then just that extra bit of horsepower, you can get a lot done, you know.
How old were you when you first started ploughing?
Dad was there. Dad, my father, was with me, but he let me do my first couple of runs of ploughing when I was 12 years old. So I quite enjoyed it, you know. I haven't done any competition ploughing for quite a few years, but I used to enjoy that too, you know. Yeah.
Do you think there's room for horse and plough nowadays, especially around the emphasis on soil and trying to keep cultivation to a minimum?
Oh, I feel there is, you know. Like back in the day, people would laugh at me. Like on the farm, when Dad was alive and we used to plant maize, we'd eat the paddock out, we'd plough it, we'd let it lay for most probably a month, and then we just get straight into it with the disc and work it all up and put a bit of lime on it and then get the crop in, and especially for maize, let it die, let that grass die, and that becomes a bit of fertiliser as well. And everything gets rushed this day and age that we live in, and plus the paddock was out for so much longer, but we always end up with good crops, there's no doubt about that, you know.
What about the carbon in the soil?
Yeah, that's dead right, exactly, you know, it's sort of, that was perfect the way we did it, by ploughing it and letting it lie, it was just perfect, it all broke down itself, the worms did their job and it just all broke down itself, it was great. When I was living in Central Hawke's Bay on the main road, the people I was leasing it off said, Steve, would you plough that front paddock by the main road for us, please? I said, yeah, I'd love to. So did that with the six horses. And then he said, actually, I've got a drill. It's a tractor drill, but it will fit behind your forecart. And all you have to do is pull a rope to drop the coulters in the ground and lift them out. Would you plant my crop for me as well? And I said, yeah, I'll do that for you as well. Well, he was so impressed how that crop come up, and it made me feel good. He reckons the horses... pace was made for that drill. He reckons when he hooked it behind his tractor, he went too fast and could never have a good crop. Over. I'm just going to go and turn around in the paddock so the wagon's in the right position to go back in the shed, you see. Mark Hills. Yeah, there's your mates. Hey? There's your mates. Up. Over. Whoa. Round, Jess. Come round, Jess. They should be able to do it, but they don't do enough of it, eh? That's the thing these days, because they, you know, back in the days with the old taking the milk to the factory, they're always backing into the stage to unload the milk cans and all that sort of thing. Yeah, it's a little bit wet, but it's not that bad. Come on. Good girls. Come round. Come round.
Steve Muggeridge backing up his wagon with a little help from his Clydesdales at the base of Mount Taranaki, the new home for his beloved herd.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.